you managed to pull it out. This looks like somebody tried to hide it in a panic. The rest of the contents of the bag are a soggy mush of like pills, and there's a few bags of powders that have half dissolved into the popper fluid.
Well, it's something to at least hold over him for a possible future interrogation.
You find four more little scribbled greetings from Nat on flyers advertising all-night hot action bars.
Well, Nat, something to go off on, at least. No?
No storage of information or anything. No computers, no sign of computers being used.
None.
This guy is keeping a very clean house.
Francis?
Yes?
You should get some sleep. You look dreadful.
I imagine I do. Yes, I think I'll do that.
There's a passage that you need to pass which has bright sunlight coming in from two cross windows, and it just goes slap diagonally all across the stairwell.
I take a human breath, and then I will walk like a person. I told them that I am the same person, and I'm gonna walk normally, 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 normally.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying. With the eyes of Alex, the incredulous Royal Marine, boring into your back, you walk, not run, through the sunlight. Gritting teeth. Would you please just roll us a little composure? Plus stamina.
Yes. I will. Three. Four.
You walk. You think of yourself as nothing ordinary, nothing out of the ordinary here. Just a stroll. Those four steps are some of the longest you've taken in your life, but there's almost no pain. The pain is of an deeper existential sort, and then it's gone and you're down on the stairs. There's no more noise from downstairs, and as you walk up to interrogation room one, you see the subject seated calmly behind a steel table.
After Francis left, I did make sure that this man gets what he wants, if we do have it. If we do have some sparkling water for him,
he
then sure.
He is on one of these chairs that have been bolted to the ground. Same thing with the table. You sadly do not have an observation mirror, so this might be a better way to all be present.
I'm going to make sure that I have a coffee as well, and I'm also going to see if I can find Kituara and see if he has a briefing for me when it comes to him, any previous things that he claims to have been taken, things like that.
You find her upstairs in the reception, or rather behind the reception. She's curled up on her jacket, resting, sleeping deeply. Her fine-featured face is not scarred by any frowns. Her full lips in a little bit of a smile as she turns away from you. A little high-pitched snore comes from her. She's sleeping deeply.
To think it was only... Yeah. How long was the drive? I guess almost 2 hours. Before, she was in a frantic state, complaining about him making noise, and now she's sleeping as a babe. She will not have had time, perhaps, to pull something out. I look around her. Is there anything lying around her, like a file or something? Did she prepare something for me?
She's fallen asleep next to her laptop, and it's up. It just has a few notes. It says, 0730, suspect in handcuffs, secured, 8:30, subject complains, release cuffs, wants coffee. There's no note there at 9. Yeah, then there's a note before saying, making noise. Not much. It's a bit confused. Sparse notes for her.
Yeah.
She must be dead tired.
Yeah.
Or at least she left the computer open.
I see that, and I look at my own wristwatch, seeing the timestamps. I'm just thinking to myself, Christ, it's that much already. And I try to carefully lift away the laptop and see what I can find of what she has brought up there.
Yeah, she just moans a little bit as you take out the lightweight laptop and start looking at the open windows. There's that, and there's a secure chat window. To see she has been communicating with Isaac Khan. All of the messages have been closed meticulously, except for one last from Khan. Dealing with Mayor's office, it's gonna be a minute. Give me regular updates. That's it.
And so it goes. Has this laptop any access to police databases and such?
It does.
Right. Could I bring it up and see if there's anything on him at all?
Sure. It's not hard. At least if he is in the public crime records, it should be there.
If he has been pulled, something, no kind of note should be there.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who, of course.
Yeah, and the file is already open, you see. Oh, of course, Ketuara. She has done this. He has been arrested 3 times. Once for possession of narcotics. Once for soliciting in a public area. And once... the circumstance that seems to be a violent altercation. He is there as a witness, not as a suspect in that violent altercation. He seems to be the victim of an attack at one point. There has been no convictions in either one of these cases. He has only been in as a suspect and then been written out because of lack of evidence.
Right. I fold up the laptop and I take it with me as I go and pick up a cup of coffee on the way down to the interrogation room, and maybe I'll meet Ellis outside.
Yeah, I'm waiting outside, standing against the wall, arms crossed, looking at you with a mix of worry and maybe some, not irritation, but a bit of a frown. But I don't say much. I just, we've done this a lot of times, but there is worry in my expression.
You see me stop first when I see you. Normally I wouldn't be reacting so openly, but this point, it is strange to see you awake at this time, and I just comment, you're awake.
Francis woke me. Are you? I eye you.
I hold up the cup of coffee as a cheers, And I say, did he brief you?
Not yet. Paul, when did you sleep last?
Yeah. We'll have to talk to this one first, I think.
Let's make it a short one then, so you can sleep, because you look like you're about to fall over.
It's not that bad.
It's that bad. I know you. If I was still your boss, I would fucking fire you. No, I wouldn't. But, you know, I would order you to go and get some sleep. But I'm not, so let's do this.
Right. You are lead investigator Georgia Adelt. And I am Sergeant Nick Dunbar, leading this interrogation.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to take lead? Should I be the menacing presence in the background? How do you want to play it?
Let's soften him up a bit with some compliments. He's, I think we can play to this one's ego.
Okay.
He is meticulous. He's not going to be impressed by neither us nor our facilities or what we have. He's going to try to gain the upper hand with his sheer presence. And he has a bit of a presence.
Okay.
But if we can bolster that enough, is my hope that he'll give us more than he intends.
Just the quick glance you have scored through the window to the the suspect sitting there, you can see that by presence, Paul probably means hot as fuck. Which is the first impression that strikes you. Holy shit, you haven't seen an attractive gentleman like this in a long time. And he doesn't look angry. Even though there's the shattered remains of a coffee cup and, yeah, the spoon that he used to pierce the window is lying on the floor amid some glass splinters. There's a small bit of blood on his hand. He licks it, but looks calm. He smiles, almost intuitively feeling your gaze through the glass.
Good thing I ate, I think. All right, Georgia, what was the last name?
Adelt.
Adelt. I can play that part. You ready?
Sure. And I go in, and as I do, it scrapes against the glass, the door, and I call out to the Marine. I say, Luca, can you get this cleaned up, please?
Luca moves in. He's has vest on, and he reaches into a cleaning cupboard for him, a shovel and a broom, and starts.
I look down at William, where he's sitting, licking his wound, and maybe some first aid would be good.
I'm fine. It's just a tiny, tiny little abrasion. Top of the morning to you.
You had your sparkling water?
Yes! And I'm grateful. Thanks. I did not think a facility catering to... I didn't expect to be served when I've apparently been nabbed by some not quite common government agency or something like that.
Well, you can consider yourself flattered, I say. And I take the bag of drugs and I put it on the table in front of him.
Yeah, I sit down next to Paul, arms crossed, just watching him.
Oh, he winces a little bit as the sloshy bags goes down on the table. It's not really
I'm sorry that we had to, interrupt you at this early hour and what we did. I'm not sure where you were at the point that you were taken in.
It's not really about this, he says and gestures towards the bag. His hand coming up with a chain that chains him to the chair. It can't be, right? He would have just taken me to his station, booked me, and it's been done with, right?
Of course not.
Then we're on the same page. So that's just a little bit of leverage, then.
This here? Well, call it an explanation. We had a call from a worried fan, and we... Well, it turned out that things were more dire than we were first thought, because this one had some names on our list that we didn't expect to hear. We decided to have you taken out here and have a look through your things, and we are sorry for that. We tried our best not to make a mess, but here's something that we found. I wouldn't expect any less from a man of your stature. I see you've been making quite a career.
You have absolutely no idea about my stature. I mean, you could find out. So, I am touched by your concern. What's the name of this concerned fan? I mean, there are so many.
This one?
Yeah, whomever alerted you to my dire circumstances, or... I will indulge you. I know you're lying your tongues out right now, but I will indulge you. For the sake of argument, let's say that you are correct. So what is the name of the person who alerted you to my dire situation? And might you be as good as to elucidate me about the nature of this danger?
Mr. Gilbert, I say, if you please, let us ask the questions, and this will be over soon. But the more fuss and trouble you make...
Honey, I am nothing but cooperation. I have been silent in here for, what is it now, 6-7 hours? Without the faintest idea what is going on. At this point, I am ready to spill my beans.
Good. So, do you want to talk a bit about...
I do not have the faintest idea what you are interested in. I mean, if I knew, I could possibly...
Mr. Gilbert! You are interrupting me.
Are you already getting excited?
No. We are just getting started.
Good.
But can you please stop interrupting me?
He motions his hand across his lips like a zipper.
So... do you want to tell us a little about what you've been up to the last couple of nights?
Staying in. Mostly. Mm-hmm. Had a friend who was supposed to drop by. Was a no-show. Always a disappointment.
What's the name of the friend?
I don't think he would like me to tell you.
Why not?
Because this is private, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's say Richard... Richard was going to drop by. He never showed. I stayed in. I was disappointed. I felt ugly. I cried. I might have comforted myself a little bit. I went out for Vietnamese. But mostly I stayed in.
I see. Do you sell yourself? I asked. Looking at him.
Do you?
I'm asking you.
You ever walked home with somebody who bought you a drink?
I'm asking you, Mr. Gilbert.
Ever been in the position where that last drink pushed you over the line and saying yes instead of maybe? I would say yes. Right?
Answer the question, please.
It's irrelevant.
Please answer the question then.
Yes. Yes. And I am quite happy with my choice of career. It is not my only source of income, but it is a thing I have chosen to do. And I've chosen to do it well, and I've chosen to do it professionally, and I've chosen to do it like a businessman. And it is setting me up quite nicely, thank you. You've seen my apartment? That is not modeling money.
So would you say that is your main source of income, Mr. Gilbert?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Mm-hmm.
And do you usually do it in your apartment or in somewhere else?
It is much safer to do it in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer it that way. Also, my friends have, as a rule, a genuine affection, meaning that many of them are repeat visitors, meaning that they feel at home, lessening the chance of any shenanigans.
I understand. Do you have some kind of specialization of your services, or are you an all-round guy?
Look at me.
I am. Will you answer the question?
What would you imagine me to do?
I don't know. I'm asking you. There's a slight smile on my face, like he is amusing. not a full-out smile, just a little smile.
Listen, girlfriend. I do not have to do any special tricks.
As Gabriella has started to take over the interrogation, I have folded up the laptop and I'm taking small notes on it, seeming vaguely interested in what's going on.
Yeah, you throw another glance at the arrest reports and so on, and yes, I mean, he has been taken once for soliciting in a public space in quite a dingy part of Croydon, actually. Close by one of the train stations. Well, actually close to the train depot. The Selhurst train car depot. It's not more than 3 blocks away that he was taken. That is against the law. The soliciting itself, I mean, if he does his business outside of the street and so on, the law doesn't really have a super strong position on it, but if you solicit, if you make your services known on the street and so on, that is a felony. He has done that before. So he can't be quite as upscale and successful as he tries to project. That's what goes through your mind as you take notes.
Mm.
He turns towards you, Paul. Find anything interesting? I mean, you could answer her, right? Do you think I have to have a specialty? No, my specialty is that I am me, and I meet people, and we have mutually beneficial encounters. I never, never do bareback. I never let my friends be high. That's just me. I do not share any kind of photographic imagery. I do not do any kind of... I'm not into pain. Not at all. I find that... No, that's not a part of lovemaking at all. And it's not a part of my repertoire either.
But you mostly serve men? Am I correct?
You haven't worked Vice deeply, have you? Yes, yes, I do. Yes, 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 mostly not.
As a matter of fact, I have. I am just trying to get a picture.
You know that, yes, my main clientele is according to my own preference, but if somebody pays, I have nothing against a little dalliance with an older lady. Happens once or twice, maybe 3-4 times a year, not much. Mm-hmm. It's, in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's fucking repugnant.
Yeah.
Is that good enough an answer for you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Moving on, so you say you take most of your clients in your apartment, is that correct?
Yes, if I can have any control over that.
So nowhere else? Nowhere else where you frequent?
Of course this happened. Of course it's happened. Mm-hmm. I've been asked to attend upscale parties. Mm-hmm. I've been asked to Dave Stewart's club with a client once. I was even introduced to Dave himself. But that is beside the point. If I trust the client, I can go to his place, sure. Hotels sometimes.
There is no place where you return frequently? That you book? If you try to remember?
My house.
That is not your house.
No. I don't have a hideaway like that.
You don't?
I have no problem. I have no problem representing my choice of line of work to my friends. I have no need for a double life, in sharp contrast to some of the people I see. I have no problem with what I am or what I do.
Mm. So you don't do pain, and you mainly meet your clients in your home?
Almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm. I see. Paul, do you have anything to add?
So, when was exactly this friend of yours supposed to show up, which made you stay into your apartment?
That was Friday. He was supposed to stay over until Saturday evening. Of course, sometimes there's nerves. Richard was a first-timer, you see. And with first-timers, you have to be gentle and you have to be accepting that there's a certain nervousness and maybe even late bailouts, as sad as it is, because I could have filled that slot with something interesting, or I could have gone with my friends to the club, you know. So I'm disappointed.
So you weren't supposed to be somewhere else, Mr. Gilberts, at that Friday?
No, I was not.
Not at all?
No, I was not. Mm-hmm. No, I was not.
Do you want to tell me about Blue Vision? Does that ring a bell to you?
Of course I know it. It's no more than 4 blocks away from my home. And it's where... Alright, let's just say this. The guys who do their business there seldom have the same sense of professionalism and security as I have myself. Frankly, I'm worried about some of them. And I have heard that there's not even condoms in the stalls always. And I think that's on the owners.
Troublesome.
So you would never do business there?
Never.
That is...
I mean, of course I go in there to buy something that a client has requested, like some bunny ears or whatever madness it can be, but it's not the kind of place that I like to frequent. If I do my shopping, I do it in Soho, you see.
I wanna kind of get him the feeling that we know a lot more than we do, of course, and that we are onto him. And so kind of professional intimidation, I guess.
Intimidation plus, let's get wild and crazy here and do a investigation plus intimidation.
3. So, you are not a regular customer of Blue Vision?
No.
I say and look at him very calmly.
No. Not in the sense that you're implying.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we ask this, Mr. Gilberts?
I actually don't know.
Oh, maybe it's time for you to stop lying. I smile.
What did you say your name was again?
Luca, you can bring in the box now. And I have prepared the box. Of course, the sensitive materials have been taken out because we are investigating the bomb and all that separately, but we do have the box.
You can call me Miss Adult, or if you want to be formal, you can call me Captain Adult. This is Sergeant Dunbar. So you know, Mr. Gilberts.
I think there are 2 people in here who are lying. None of them is me.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in the box? I love surprises.
And I look at him, just to see if there's any reaction as he sees it.
You try to watch his minute body language, every single flinch and so on, staring at him. Insight plus, wits.
Yep. Right, and I'm going to push it with a bit of willpower.
Yeah, seeing as it's sometimes hard even focusing without the sleep.
Yeah, I feel my brain is a bit... It's slow, but I'm trying. I'm squinting my eyes. I get 2 successes.
Fuck, you have no idea. This guy is good. He does not show any reaction whatsoever. He just throws up his hands and is like, yes, I've seen the boxes. I told you I'm not into hard stuff.
So this was found for a booking under your name for this Friday.
No.
No?
No, I've not made it.
Then you don't mind if I open it?
Go right ahead. There's nothing I haven't seen, sir.
Very good. I stand up and I start opening it and watching him all the while.
Yeah. Oof. I had a client who wanted me to put in him in those ones. Yeah. I did, and I lost the key. And it was really, really difficult getting me out of the house. I can tell you, that was the most embarrassing visit to a bicycle repairman I have ever made.
And what about this? And I take out the disarmed bomb.
What is that even?
This is an incendiary device meant to kill a single person through immolation.
Who were you meeting that night, Mr. Gilbert? Did you stood him up?
I find it so, so heart-rendingly sad when people profess that they are trying to help me, or by extension my brothers and sisters, and do it by believing that they are doing good by making places where we meet unsafe, thinking that somehow the pornography industry or the booking stalls or something has anything to do with our life choices. I haven't lived under a rock. I do watch tele. I do know that there have been bombings in sites of, you know, interest to my less my newcomer friends in the area, okay? I know there have been threats and bomb threats to clothing stores, clubs, meeting places. And I know that they are done by people who call themselves, you know, queer activists, feminists, and so on, that they are somehow removing predators who prey upon us, and so on. And in fact, you know, that shit could have gone off into my face then if I was passing on the street or if I was there buying bunny ears.
Mr. Gilbert, could you just... Let's back a bit. This store was booked in your name. Do you have any idea why? Did you do the booking?
I have no idea. No, I did not make that booking.
Because in the records, you've been quite frequent in booking stalls.
I have not booked any stalls there. I told you.
Okay. Are you lying to me now?
No, I am not.
So, if you're not, who booked something like this in your name? Are you being framed right now? Is that what you're saying?
It would be ridiculous of me to say that, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Just tell me the truth.
I have no idea. I have no idea, and that is the truth.
I could believe you if this was a one-time booking and maybe you made some enemies or something, but when you're a frequent customer of those stalls, it makes it very hard to believe. And I mean, we could look at this in two different ways. Either you're the victim and the bomb was meant for you, or you're the perpetrator and you plant the bomb there for someone else that didn't show up. And right now, I look at Paul. We're a bit unsure on what way to take here, so maybe you can help us out. How's that? How's that sound?
I am trying to help you. I am not afraid of you. I am not holding anything back. If you ask me precise questions, I will endeavor to help you, as I said, to help you apprehend the misguided people who are pulling this sort of shit and believing themselves good for doing it.
When you are...
How can I help you? You're an anti-terrorist task force, right? I have concluded that much. The location, the bomb... Good. Good. The community is deeply worried about this. This has been going on since a week before the protests. It does not jive.
Mr. Gilbert, calm down.
I am here to help you. Now that I know what this case is about, I can tell you that we are deeply concerned. Me, my friends, everybody, we're staying indoors. We want to be able to walk outside. We want to go to our ordinary places without being blown up.
When you say my sisters and brothers and my friends, who exactly are you talking about?
People connected to the business. In any way, shape or form, since these attacks have been targeted places. Yeah.
People in the business.
You mean other prostitutes?
Yes. Or, you know, people in that area. There's been a strip club. Even a strip club was bombed. Look.
And do you think this has anything to do with your actual profession? What is the other connection here?
I think, as I said, I believe that these are well-meaning protests that have spun out of control. I think these people believe that they're doing us a favor. I think this is the same kind of people who pays me $1,000 to sit me down and talk about how my choices of career is a sexist, terrible crime towards me, and that I'm not allowed to make that choice. I think it's the same kind of people who would waste my time.
Mr. Gilbert, please, just calm down. If you had to guess, if someone made the booking in your name, who would have done that to you?
I can see you're not lying. It's a useful skill, you know, in my line of work. And...
Yeah.
It has to have gone through... It has to have gone through Moorcock in some way, right? She has the bookings, she has the booking system, she's the one who has access to it, as far as I know.
She was concerned.
And if she would tell me I have been in their booking stalls, I would call her a lying bitch to her face.
As Ellis is going on with this line of questioning, I am bringing up the photos of Kenneth Wilson that we had from the protests and thereabout. And I'm looking around at him and his crew. Is William in these?
Flipping through. Nope, he is not there. I mean, he stands out. He's... 6 feet, well built. That haircut, the bleach blonde haircut, you would spot that anywhere. No one is even remotely as well dressed as it should be.
How about the surveillance from the pawn shop from Blue Vision?
Yeah, you do remember that one. Yes. Now that you've had a look at him, maybe you can spot something else. There are a few outtakes that Kitawara has made. They're right there in the right folder. Bless her hyper-organized heart. And there we go. These ones are man 50, there's a couple of shots of a guy in his 50s in like a shabby trench coat and a little woolen hat. He's going into a liquor store, going out. He's hanging about the area, reading a newspaper. He's loitering like in the half an hour before and half an hour after the timestamp that should be, you know, intended bomb time.
Yeah.
That's him. And then there are a number of customers going in and out. A lot of them don't have faces, but wait a minute. There is one from a high angle from the entrance where you can see the feet of one customer. He's wearing Adidas and a pair of golden sneakers. Yep, who the hell has golden sneakers except this guy? You have seen these sneakers in his apartment. That's it. That's a shot of him going in 10 minutes before bomb time.
I bring this up, and it takes a little bit of time because I scrolled through quite a few photographs.
In the meantime, William refreshes himself with some sparkling water, collects himself. He closes his eyes and he does some deep, shuddering, meditative breaths. And he's humming slightly. I just needed to center myself a little. There. We can continue now.
I give a little smile.
Were you all ready? Good. Let's get to the bottom of this. You finding anything on there? You did find anything on there, didn't you?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Yes.
Of course I did. Mm-hmm. I see you reading me like a book. And I spin the laptop around and I show him. Recognize these golden line sneakers?
Yes. Yes, I do. That is a limited edition Nike 2005.
Oof. Crossing Adidas and Nike, taking bold strides
now. I know. Ain't I the heretic?
So you are. What were you doing exactly on this evening, now that we have concluded that you were not waiting at home?
Love, I wish I could tell you. I have no idea.
You said you wanted to help us.
Yes, and I am. And I... Look. I was 2 meals. When I came to, I had already had 2 Vietnamese meals and they were standing on my table. Better believe it. Mm-hmm. And I have zero recollection of that. None. And I was not out partying. I was not intending to go out partying. And the booking is true.
You say someone booked it in your name and then...
I am flustered. Did somebody get that collector's item off eBay just to look like me? I don't know.
You say you have a gap in your memory?
Mr. Gilbert, did you meet anyone else before that happened to you?
I'm getting worried now. Okay, excuse me. I do remember what I did. And then you show me this. and now I'm confused.
I understand. Just breathe. Take it easy. There's no hurry.
Okay. As you have seen, you have not found a phone on me, and that is simply because I dumped it when I heard you outside. So I dumped it through the bathroom window. On that phone should be something, maybe. If it's still there. I do remember what I did that day, and it was, I was gonna stay in, and I was gonna prepare for the weekend. I had a nice booking. I had said no to Nat again. I thought I found the credit card slip from the buying of the food. I was not hungry. But I honestly can't remember what dish I had. What was in those packages? I don't remember. I usually remember exactly everything I eat, every single item that I eat.
So, Mr. Gilbert, if we were to go back to your apartment and find the phone that you dumped, why would you dump your phone? What were you afraid that we would find on that?
Common routine, of course, my clients. What else?
And who did you meet before you had this gap of memory? You remember up to a certain point?
Believe me when I say I do remember, but now I am unsure, because I...
Tell us anyway. You don't have to be sure. Just tell us.
I think it was Nat.
Nat?
Because I was slightly nauseous, and I don't really like him, but he likes me a lot, and it's getting very hard to handle. If you've tossed my apartment, you already know this. She found this...
What do we need to know about this, Nat?
Yes, that he has been... I mean, he's nice and all that, but time came for us to part ways, and he doesn't quite want to accept that.
A dedicated customer?
Relationship? More like wannabe boyfriend, okay?
Why were you nauseous?
Because I met him, even though I'd promised myself not to play on his emotions anymore, because that is bad for business and it's bad ethically. It's a really, really sucky thing to do, okay?
Have you ever had any other strange occurrence happen while you've been meeting this person? Lapses of memory, anything else?
It's the least strange you can imagine. It's sickeningly cute, okay? It's a lot of times we don't even have sex. He even got a separate apartment. Yes, I have seen him there once or twice.
Where is that apartment?
Oh, yeah, that's... Okay, let me scribble down the address. But, if you pick him up, it's like, you have to be really, really, really careful. I do not want to bring that poor gentleman any more pain. You understand that?
Of course.
But
yeah.
Do you think he gave you something? Maybe to...
Nat, give me something?
Yeah, since you felt nauseous. Or was that just a general feeling of shame? Or was it a real feeling of nauseousness?
Tea, maybe. But it would be me taking it, not him giving it to me.
And what did you take?
Desperate. I do not want to believe that he is that desperate.
Mr. Gilbus, what did you take? Just stick to the facts.
I usually take some... Yeah, I mean, you can analyze that sludge, but it won't... Okay, so I do meth, and I do MD sometimes, and sometimes I do GHB. Yes. Never mixed with alcohol. That is stupid. Just as stupid as mixing MDMA and cocaine, because that's neurotoxic, okay?
Yeah. And you took something to get through the meeting with Nat, is that correct?
I am now trying to explain an anomaly I cannot explain away myself. So we're in the same boat again.
Yes, you turned down Nat, and you remember yourself spending the night at home, but here you see yourself in a completely different place. So you cannot remember actually meeting him or open the door or anything. Is there something hidden in the back of your memory that rings a bell that you actually saw him this day?
Look, I practice mindfulness, tantric breathing. I am very cautious that I'm not off my head, even if I take drugs, you know?
I see. Mr. Gilbert, would you excuse us for a couple of minutes? You can have some more water. Sergeant Dunbar, could we speak outside a bit, maybe?
Of course. And I fold up the laptop, and I nod to Luca to pack up the crate again and take it away.
You see William giving an appreciative smile as you remove the box, and he looks genuinely worried and flustered as he waves goodbye to you as you close the door. He can't hear you now.
Okay. What do you think? The phone? Did you find a phone when you swept the apartment?
No. It wasn't in the apartment. Like he said, he must have dumped it. So that's something we need to pick up.
Are you thinking what I think?
Probably. Clearly he was here.
Yeah.
He was... Though I'm not sure what he actually did in the shop that day. If he didn't stay there. If he... And I sort of just fold open the laptop again with the pictures of him outside the shop. Does he carry anything? Does he have the box with him?
No, he doesn't.
Hmm.
And... Okay, there's a number of other... Now that you've seen that, maybe that's him as well. Yeah, this is 25 minutes past time zero, and he is walking out. He's more or less of a blur. He's walking fast, but you can see he's holding a phone to his face. He's got his hoodie up, and he's walking out. That's why you haven't seen him before, because he's back to the camera, but that is definitely that Adidas get up.
So we have the timestamp for this, and if there is any phone history and his phone's still there, we would have a contact who is probably suggesting what he's doing. If he has been taking some sort of drug of...
We need that phone.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
I'm thinking this Nat is a blank body. I look at you.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling as well. The idea that he suggests that this Nat is a very tender and gentle person, I don't know, does it maybe even raise suspicions even more?
Yeah, and I'm thinking of... Do you remember when we... at the casino, when I shot you?
All too well.
Yeah. Some of them... us... seem to have these kind of mind-altering abilities.
Power of persuasion.
Persuasion. Maybe some of them can erase memories as well. We will just have to assume that this is the case. So maybe
it's
if...
It's either that or he's been given something and then been open to whatever suggestion they've been feeding them. Either way, that person must be the one that has been contacted through the phone at this time, Sam.
Also... If he has this ability to erase memories, it's totally possible that the only thing that William is remembering from these encounters is the sweetness, not the feeding or anything around it. Which means that if we're gonna take this person in, he's gonna be fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's try to get an address to that second...
What do you suggest we do with him? With William?
I suggest we get that phone, get the number, and pretend to be William. getting in touch, and then stage a little date.
How about we have some sleep, and we return William, and keep out of sight, and then see who comes to him.
Yeah, that also works.
I'm not sure what his own feeling for this would be now, but he's got a strong mind and a damn good power of both persuasion and observation.
Yeah.
Himself. I'm sure he could keep a facade if we convince him that he's in actual danger.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, you go and get some sleep, and I will tell him that we will take a break in a couple of hours and that he might get released. We don't suspect him of anything, and then we take it from there. But right now, you need to sleep.
Agreed.
Hmm.
That's what we have for now. Good, good. I'm glad you were able to get up as well. I suggest you get some rest as well after you've... talk to him, right?
Yes.
In my mind, I'm suddenly just extraordinarily comfortable with Ellis, and I'm tired as well, and I just trust at this point that she will do this, and then find her way back to a cell and lock herself up again. It's strange how this sense of trust has fluctuated over the past few days, but somehow it strongly just keeps wanting to come back to fully trusting this near colleague and friend I've had for the last few years. And I see myself off, and I go to my bunk.
Before you go, I just very lightly tap your shoulder and be like, please, you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sort of rummage around in my pocket, and I hold out a sleeping pill, and I nod to her. I will take a half.
Good.
Don't let me rest too long.
No, have a good one. I go back in to Mr. Gilbert's.
So, I have been thinking.
Oh, I sit down.
Miss Special Agent, whatever your name may be in actuality, I want to help you.
I'm glad.
I'm sorry if I've been uncooperative. I understand it's hard for me to acknowledge that someone has been... Something is not right. I want to tell you everything. I want to... He starts banging his head against the steel table. Help me! Help me! Bang! Bang!
Is Luca still in there?
He's at the door. He's springing for him.
Yeah, because I get up and also try to stop him.
You both of them hold him. Holding him. He's strong. He's really fucking strong. His body's convulsing. There's blood showering. Whoa. Showering over his face. His eyes are moving irregularly. I want to help you! Boom! Boom! Boom!
I want to roll composure plus resolve, because there is blood going on. So I'm going to roll.
There is blood, and there's also his violently twisting body, just with the strength of a madman, trying to bring his face to the table again and again and again, with more blood spilling out over the scratched metal surface of the table.
I get two successes. I've been working in Vice before, as I remember it. It's not the first time this happens to... Like, people are in affect and they do things. So I think I should have some experience with dealing with this, and I think I will roll maybe brawl and strength to kind of keep him down without hurting him.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's contorting, he's trying to twist his ankles, ripping at anything that can be hurt, he's trying to hurt.
Yeah. 3 successes, no crits.
You hold him. The grasp you find is across his back, one arm across his throat, holding him almost like holding someone you're helping puking in the toilet or something, violently spasming, the blood on his head only inches away from your face. And your resolve fades away. The soldier tries to hold you both, tries to separate you. But there, in one small flash, small split second, you grin and something jumps out. Your fangs bare, and his bloody face is smiling at you. Now there you are. Come get me. Come get me, you fucker. You anarch scum. And then he limps, like dead in your grasp.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zasa, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org and Sirenscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschaubert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, and Julia for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.